A long, long time ago, when he was much younger. They were what led me to him eventually. She paused, glancing towards the trees, but before I could ask her what she had meant by that, she was already speaking again. But the man I found wasn't an evil one. He was cruel, violent, dangerous, but he was also capable of giving love, of accepting love from another human being. He saw beauty in things, recognized evil in others. He wasn't the man I'd expected to find, but someone better. Not perfect, not by a long stretch, but not a monster, not at all. I found that I couldn't hate him as easily as I'd hoped.
You expected to hate him?
I expected to do a lot more than that. I expected to kill him, or bring him to justice. Instead...
Geeta paused again. There was another crack of blue light from the forest, the deadfall of another animal.
I found myself asking a question, one I'd never thought of before. How long would you have to live as a good man, doing good, before the sum of your good actions cancelled out something terrible you'd once done? Could any human life be long enough?
I don't know, I answered truthfully, but I do know one thing. Kawea may be better than he used to be, but he is still not anyone's idea of citizen of the month, is he? If you define the way he is now as a man doing good, I'd hate to think what he was like before.
You would, yes, Geeta said, and I don't think you could handle it either.
I bade her good night, and returned to preparing the other tents. Chapter 20. In the mid-morning, while the others struck camp, five of us walked back on foot until we had reached the point in the track where we had seen the Hamadryad tree. From there it was an uncomfortable but short scramble through overgrowth until we reached the flared base. I led the party, sweeping the monofilament scythe ahead of me in an arc which cleared most of the vegetation.
"He's even bigger than it looked from the trail," Kawea said. "He was rosy-cheeked and jovial this morning, for his hunting last night had been successful, as we had discovered by the carcasses hung up outside the clearing. How old do you think it is?"
"It definitely predates the landing," said Dieterling. 400 years old, perhaps. We'd need to cut it to know better."
He began to stroll around the tree's circumference, tapping the bark lightly with the back of his knuckles. With us were Geeta and Rodriguez. They looked up towards the tree's upper reaches, craning their necks and squinting against the sunlight which filtered through the jungle canopy.
"I don't like it," Geeta said. "What if—"
He had appeared out of earshot, but Dieterling answered her. "The chances of another snake coming by here are pretty damn minimal, especially as this one seems to have fused very recently."
"Are you sure?" Kawea said.
"Check it out for yourself."
He was nearly round the back of the tree. We crunched through the overgrowth until we reached him. The Hamadryad trees were a mystery to the first explorers in those dreamlike years before the war began. They had swept through this part of the peninsula at haste, eyes wide for the wonders of a new world, searching for marvels, knowing that everything would be studied in greater detail in the future. They were like children ripping open presents, scarcely glancing at the contents of each wrapper before beginning to unpeel another gift. There was just too much to be seen. If they had been methodical, they would have discovered the trees and decided that they were worthy of immediate further study, rather than simply consigning them to the growing list of planetary anomalies. Had they done so, they would only have needed to place a few trees under study for a few years before the secret would have been revealed to them. But it was many decades into the war before the proper nature of the trees was established.